Well, thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. We're going to continue with 1 Corinthians. We're going to just briefly look at 1 Corinthians 13, starting from verse 1 this week. Just to say, if there's anything that you would like to share with us, then please give us an email. Let us know what's happening in your life in these unprecedented times that we face as a church. It'd be good to know what's happening in your life, good and not so good. We can stand with you and pray with you or rejoice with you. It's good to know and good to hear from some of you. We do meet on a Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock down the classrooms. Those that can make it, if you'd like to join us, it's social distancing and we take precautions and we make sure that we're mindful about your safety and our own safety. But if you'd like to have some fellowship with us, then please consider joining us. Just give us a line, let us know that you're coming, and you'll be more than welcome. In the meantime, if you have any prayer requests or anything, please email us, let Jean know or let us know directly, and we'll do what we can. Remember, we are a body. When we're looking through, we're talking about spiritual gifts. We speak about the fact that we're a body. And that is true, isn't it? We are a body. We are one, but we're separate. You're all influencers. You all make a contribution to the kingdom of God. And I want us to look at verse 13. But first of all, I want to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." And then we go on to 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 1. And it talks about this: "If I speak in the tongues of a man or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal." So what we have here, if you look at what Paul is saying in 12 and look at what he's saying in 14, and then you look at this, these verses in 13, it's called the love chapter. You hear this read out many times at weddings. So what is Paul actually trying to say here? And it's interesting as you start to look through the scripture and you dissect sort of Greek and Hebrew words and you look at what this love chapter is all about. Now, Paul is speaking about and still is speaking about the importance of spirituality, spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts that have been given by God to his people, you and me. Now, we've all been given gifts according to God's good pleasure. So when we start to look at this portion of scripture, it'll be interesting to see one or two things as they come out. Now, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And when we look through these scriptures in Corinthians, Paul is addressing a church here that's a bit chaotic. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't say, stop doing these things or you shouldn't have these spiritual gifts. But what he does say is, let's get some order here, church. You tend to have a pecking order, is what he's saying to the Corinthians. Actually, all gifts are given by God and they're all important. And not one gift is above the other gift. But you seem to be lacking in some areas and you highlight the other areas. So if I speak in tongues, the tongues is an interpretation for languages. If I speak in languages, or the language of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What he's saying here, I believe, is, as we look through these portions of scripture, is that if I don't come to you in love, then I'm just making a noise. I can remember when I was a Christian, I'd listen to certain ministers and some of them used to like have a music played in the background as they preached. And to start with, I found that off-putting. Then I found it quite soothing and refreshing. But if what that preacher, what that minister is bringing isn't from God, backed up by love, then it's just the noise of the music in the background that we're listening to. It's just a noise. So whether you speak in languages that we know of, or a heavenly language, a spiritual language which we can speak to the angelic, only God knows the interpretation. Whichever we do, man or angels, if you do not have love, and when we start to look at love, we know that if we've been a Christian for any number of years, we would have heard it said that there is, in the English language, I can say, I love pork pie and I love my wife. But you'd like to think that there'd be a different type of love for the pork pie and your wife, wouldn't you? But there's only one word for that love. In the Hebrew, there's more than one word. When we look through the Bible, there's actually four words that depict love. But the one that's depicted here is agape. Agape love is the unconditional love of the Father for his children. That's the love that God has for me and you. That's the agape love. And that's the love that is being spoken of here. When Paul says this, but do not have love, do not have agape, I am only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. So I want to bring these scriptures in the light of spiritual gifts, spiritualities. Continue in verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. So if I have the gift of prophecy, and we mentioned this in weeks before, the prophetic we're talking about here is not the foretelling of the future. Although in the New Testament, I think it was Agabus, there were some prophets that foretold the future. But primarily what's being spoken of here is to proclaim God's revelation. To proclaim God's revelation. For me and you, when I speak and I look through scripture and I articulate it, as I'm speaking now, as I'm reading his word, I am prophesying, I am proclaiming his word. Does that make sense? I hope it do. I hope it does. And there will be times where myself or you or others will speak, we're reading through God's word, and we speak something out that seems to be a revelation that didn't come from the individual, but it came from the Spirit of God that dwells in that individual. But that's not telling the future. That's revealing God's truth. So if you have the gift to prophesy, to speak out, to proclaim, to preach, to teach, and you can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and you look into God's word and he's revealed the knowledge of the nuggets of what's in there, but you do not have love, even though you have faith that will move mountains, then you are nothing, the Bible says. So this agape love that Paul is talking about here is addressing some of the misuse of some of the gifts that the church in Corinth find themselves doing. He's saying, listen, you know, when I come to visit you, or I hear stories where everyone's speaking in tongues and no one can understand what's going on, everyone's trying to preach at the same time and there's just disorder. If you don't do these things out of love for God, then you're nothing. Now, sadly, I've been in meetings and I've been in certain congregations where there has been a spiritual gift operating, and that individual has said, or it has been said of them, that they are a XYZ. So let's just pick on the prophet, that this person is a prophet. And what they mean by prophet in this proclamation isn't that they preach the word, but they foretell. They say, God says you are XYZ. And in one particular meeting I was in, the individual was not very nice. He abused the gift. If it was a gift from God, he was abusing it. He didn't come in a love. He didn't have a love for the people. As Christians, we desire to hear from God all the time, don't we? Lord, speak to me through your word. Father God, just give me a revelation. Just tell me, what is it you want me to do? Well, his word tells us what he wants us to do. It can be no plainer than when we read through scripture. He tells us how to live and he tells us how to love. And this portion of scripture here, sandwiched in between 11, 12 and 14, Paul says, listen, I'm still talking about spiritual gifts here. I'm saying to you, church, if you don't operate in the agape love that God has for you, when you minister to others, you're nothing. You might have great faith to move mountains, But without love, you're nothing. Remember what Paul said in, let's have a look at it, in 12. At the end of 12, he says this. Corinthians 12, 30. Do all have gifts of healing? Now, this word, do all, it demands a response. And the answer is, it's like no. The answer is no. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. So you might have the gift of healing. You might have the gift of helps. You might have the gift of revelation. You might have the gift of discernment. You might have the gift where we see the miraculous. You might be good at the prophetic in the sense that you are good at speaking out God's word. You might understand and you'd be a good teacher. But he says, all of this is nothing compared to the excellent way. And then he goes on in the next chapter. Remember, Paul is continually speaking and bringing out revelation. He goes on and he's talking about the love, the agape love of God. He's not talking about the eros love, the erotic love, is he? He's not talking about the brotherly love. He's not talking about the family love. He's talking about the love that the Father has for his children. Paul is saying, when you operate in the gifts that are given by the Father, you need to operate according to the love of the Father. And I find that to be important, because as we go forward as a church, and we will meet together as a congregation at some point, I'm sure of that, we will be able to look into each other's faces, and we will be able to share what God is doing and what God has done and what he is to do. And the reason for bringing these messages on the spiritual gifts is because I want you to realize, church, yes, you, I'm speaking to you, the one that thinks they're insignificant, the one that we can't do without, according to Scripture, that you are capable of bringing the revelation of God that his word reveals to you. You are capable of being part of this active body. And I want us to operate in the gifts. We'll go on to understand that Paul says that there's things that we see dimly now, but when perfection comes, we will be made perfect. Things are not perfect at the moment, but in eternity they will be. But in the meantime, God's given us the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus says, if I go to the Father, I will send the Comforter, or the Helper. What's the Helper there to do? What's the Comforter there to do? Yes, you're right. The Comforter is there to comfort, and the Helper is there to help. To help us do what? Glad you asked. To be able to navigate our way through this world that we live in. To be able to stand strong when we feel weak. To know that we are rich in his goodness when we feel impoverished. To know that when the world knocks us down, the Spirit of God picks us up. And to know that he doesn't leave us as orphans, but he adopts us into his family. That's good news, isn't it? Yes, church, it is good news. So when it comes to spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, given to God's children, me and you, as God determines, when he gives us those gifts, then let's be a church that will grab hold of them and exercise and use them. Let's dare to believe that we can pray for these gifts, even those excellent gifts, especially this one, love. The agape love. In verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. In other translations, it says, if I give everything I have to other people, I give it to charity, I give my possessions to the poor, and I give my body over to the flames, it says in many translations. Now, to give over to the flames can infer to be burnt as a martyr, although at this time when Paul was writing this, there wasn't much said about Christians being burnt at the stake or being inflamed. But maybe it's a reference to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, or maybe it's to do with the burning flame of God, the glory of God. Either way, Paul says, if I give everything I have away to someone else, and if I go through hardship, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. You may know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You may know all the doctrinal truths. You may have the correct way of handling the truth. But if you do not have love, you're nothing. I'm nothing. I may be very wise, although I'm not, according to God's wisdom. But I may feel that I'm very wise and very articulate, and I know this and I know that. But if I don't have the love that God's talking about here, that Paul is articulating, that God has shown him, that agape love, if I don't have that, I'm nothing. So as a church going forward, we need to operate more and more in this love. And I was thinking about the ministry that God's given us over the years. And I was thinking about the love that he gives us so that we can love others. I know that in our lives, Susan and I, there has been times where we've needed the supernatural impartation of the gift of agape in order to be able to love certain people. And God will give us that love. But when it comes to a love for the church, that should be something that as Christians, of those that have repented, accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord, that we've accepted that our old life is dead and we're born afresh of his Spirit, that he dwells within us. So that agape love lives within us. So it should be easier for us to operate in this. Now, when I look at circumstances and situations, I know that we as people, we as individuals, we're fallible, aren't we? We get things wrong some of the time. And we make decisions based on how somebody looks. We make decisions based on how somebody dresses. We make decisions based on somebody's wealth. But God doesn't do that. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you and he loves me and he loves his creation with that agape love. But we put conditions on it. And as a ministry, I've looked back at our attitudes to people. And I'm proud in the sense that I've witnessed members of our church who, doesn't matter how somebody looks or even smells at times, doesn't matter about how wealthy they are or not, they've been loved and they've been embraced and they've been helped. And there's been individual people coming to our church, Grace, that have not made a financial contribution in the years and years that they've been with us. They've not led worship, they've not had a skillful talent to give to the church. But their mere presence with us, I've witnessed people treat them as equals. We had one lady come into church, and I just want to emphasize this point. One lady, she came with us, and there was an unfortunate event where one Christmas, and it wasn't a very nice smell. It wasn't a very nice smell at all, but this person was embraced and loved and cared for. Why? Because it's an agape love. It's not a conditional love where you have to look a certain way and smell a certain way for us to accept you. No, if God loves you, then we love you. There's been others that have constantly been a challenge to us as a church. And I've watched people as they've embraced and loved and cared for these individuals. And that's agape love. That's what Paul is talking about. You can be as gifted as gifted can be. You can be the best preacher, the best teacher. You can pray for the sick and see some people recovered. You can bring a prophetic word and it comes to pass. You can operate in the speaking of tongues. But if you do not have love, Paul says, you are nothing. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it? But I'm very, very, very grateful to have passed some of those challenges, to have seen and witnessed the way people are received and treated within our church. So well done, Grace. It's not that we boast, but we boast in the Lord, don't we? Because he loves us and we can love others. And I remember speaking to a Christian couple who have gone on to a different fellowship, and they're hoping to go forward in the plans that God has for them. And I had a conversation with them, and they were saying that they'd done some surveys around Downham Market, and they've looked at churches, and they've gone, well, this church is a great worshipping church, and this church is a great such and such and such and such. And I was anticipating what they would say about us as a church. And they said, you know what, Andrew, that if somebody's vulnerable, if there's people who society have cast out, they're welcoming grace. Now, that's a great accolade, I think. Now, yes, it would be nice to say, oh, it's fantastic teaching or brilliant preaching or whatever, but I'll take that. Why? Because that lines up with what Paul is saying here. He's saying you can operate in all the gifts that you like, but if you don't operate in love, then they are nothing. So if we can get the love bit right and we can desire the spiritual gifts, then there's no reason why God can't use us in a mighty, powerful way, is there? That's right. There isn't. And he can use you. For years you've had things on your heart. Well, maybe this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There's things that you believe the Spirit of God prompted and placed in your heart, put a seed there. Maybe this is the time to allow the water of the word to germinate that seed. But you can't do it on your own. You need to be part of a body. Because just being a mouth is no good. Just being an arm is no good. Just being an ear is no good. We need to be part of a body. So let's pray this year, the months that we have, let's take advantage of the time that God has given us to cultivate the things that God is saying to us. To cultivate means to turn over, to turn the soil over, to prepare the seed bed for the seed to grow. And believe that by the watering of God's word, as we read together, as we study together, as we worship together, meaning that the body of Christ and us with the Holy Spirit in our rooms, in our homes, in our workplaces, as we allow that seed to germinate and grow, let's believe that God will do an awesome work in us and through us. Spiritual gifts. Paul's still speaking about them. Agape love is what he's saying to the church here. Then he goes on to say more about this agape love. It says in 4, love is patient. Love is kind. Now, come on. If you are in a traffic jam waiting to get to town, then you need patience, don't you? But that's not the sort of patience we're talking about here. When we look at the word love is patient, the whole wording behind the interpretation of this is love is patient with people. It's not about being patient waiting for your cactus to grow. It's not about being patient waiting to that telephone call to be answered after 20 minutes on the phone. It's talking about being patient with people. Love is patient with people. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. This infers that what Paul was witnessing was people who were envious, people who weren't patient with people who were not kind, people who were proud. He was talking to a church that was saying, look at me, God has given me this gift. And I know, using my own testimony, that there was times where I felt like a failure within church life because I didn't have a gift, so I thought. I didn't have a gift. I wasn't a good speaker. I wasn't a good teacher. I can't sing. When we used to be in school games, and you know, you'd have two teams, two captains, and they'd say, I'll have him and I'll have him. I was always the last one picked, whether it was cricket, football or rugby. Why? Because I'm not very good at much. So to me, I thought, I'm not gifted. But there's a time in my life, and I hope there's a time in your life where you recognise this, that God's given you a gift of patience with people. Patience with people. that when we boast in what God is doing in our lives. That's agape love. That's a gift from God. I'm not naturally a patient person. I'm not naturally a patient person, are you? But when it comes to people, God doesn't want us to give up on them, does he? My goodness, there's times we want to go, this is the last time. And then one more time. One more time. God doesn't give up on you, does he? No. No, he doesn't. He doesn't give up on me. And he doesn't want us to give up on those around us. We don't have to like everything people do, but we are called to love them with the agape love that God loves us with. And you can't love someone else unless you've received that love of the Father. If not, you just become grumpy. I was walking past a car the other day, and in the window was a grumpy old git resides in this car. Well, I don't want one of those stickers on my back window. An agape individual resides here. Someone who loves with the love of the Father. So love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. Let's not be envious of someone else's gift. So we're talking about gifts, Paul's talking about gifts, so I have an opportunity to say this. If God gives you a gift to lead, then lead. If God gives you a gift of patience, then be patient. If God gives you the gift of the miraculous, then pray for opportunities. If God gives you the gift to worship and lead others in worship, use that gift. If God gives you the gift of administration, then administrate. If God gives you a gift of giving, then give. But let's not be envious of other people's gifts. What I like, I there's a couple that Susan and I are particularly friends with. And one thing that we can do with each other as Christians is celebrate success. When God provides a vehicle for one of us, we can rejoice with each other, not be envious. That's the same with spiritual gifts. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. When God blesses you, I want to rejoice with you, not be envious. And that's a lesson that we can all learn. Do not covet your neighbor. But celebrate with your neighbour. Look how good God has been. But in this church, there was envy and there was strife. And that's why Paul is addressing the love chapter here. So love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't have a book there where it says, right, you've wronged me. I can't do nothing about it today, but one day, I will get you back. One of the reasons I realise that God has given me a gift, the gift to love people who don't love me back, is that there have been people in my life and in the life of my family, my wife and I, who have hurt us in a particular way. They've caused a lot of pain and a lot of grief. And yet we have made a decision not to keep a record of those wrongs. We treat those individuals when we come across them as if nothing had happened. Why? Because vengeance belongs to the Lord. He's the one, not us. It does not dishonour others. Let's be a church that will honour one another. Credit where credit is due. Let's not be easily angered. Let's try and keep our peace. Love, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Remember the truth. We're living in a world at the moment, church, where what is truth? Well, God is truth. He said, Jesus says, I am, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So the truth is Christ himself, is God himself. God so loved the world, me and you, that he manifested himself as a man to come and live fully human yet fully God. Live a sinless life that we couldn't live. Love always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. No, love never fails. Then it goes on to say this, but where there is prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be silenced. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Then it goes on to say this, Paul says, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the way of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. What is Paul saying? While we're here in this earthly tent, we only see part of God's plan. We only know partly what he reveals to us. But when perfection comes, what's perfection? Christ himself. When Jesus comes back, then we will fully know all that we need to know. Because when he comes back, he's coming back for a victorious church. So we may not have all the answers to all the questions now, but we are given the revelation of God's word. We can proclaim God's goodness to a dying world. We can ask for the spiritual gifts. We can ask for the helper to help us. Yes? Yes, let's do that, church. Let's ask for the helper to help us. In verse 13, he says this, and now these three things remain. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hope. Hope that comes from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead. So we have the hope that we will be raised from the dead. Love. Love. Agape love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. That love of the Father for me and you. And that's the love that God wants us to have when we're exercising his gifts to a world around us that's dying. We should exercise the gifts with the love that God has for us. Because without that, then what we're doing is nothing. We're just making a noise. We're clanging to a cymbal. In 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God gave, he didn't take. That's love. So speaking about spiritual gifts, let's desire them. Let's pray for them. Let's use them rightly. But we need to pray that agape love will reside within us. So when God gives us a gift, we can use it correctly. I'll finish with a couple more scriptures and then say goodbye for another week. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then, in verse 23, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Why do I put this portion of scripture in the middle of the love chapter? Because we need to realize that just because people exercise gifts that seem to be from God doesn't mean that they are. One of the ways Paul is saying that we can show the love of the Father, the genuine gift of the Father, is through love. So if you are in the presence of somebody, personal persons that are exercising gifts that you think are from God, if they do not operate in agape love, then it's not from God. When we look at the scripture before this, in 1 Corinthians 12, it's, is it Christ-centered? When we look at the 13, is it through agape love? When we look at 14, is it to build up and edify the church? Is it Christocentric? Is it Christ-driven? Is it operating through love? And is it going to edify the church? See, Paul is very clear here. He's bringing revelation from God for me and you. So just because we see gifts at work, we have to examine the people, don't we? We have to use the gifts rightly. So what I'm saying to us as a church, and time is running away with me, what I'm trying to articulate here is this. This love chapter isn't just randomly put here. It's put here for a purpose. It's put here to show us that when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we have to operate through the love of the Father, the love that he has for us, we have to articulate to other people. That's why it's important. In Matthew 24:24, it says this. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear to perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's why I say time and time again, just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, we should examine them, examine what they're saying, make sure it lines up with the truth of God's word. And then and only then can we celebrate. So love is patient, love is kind, it's slow to anger. Paul wants us to operate in gifts. God wants us to operate in gifts. That's why he gives them to us. He wants us to eagerly desire those gifts. So let's pray this coming week for the gifts of the Spirit. Final scripture, I'll leave you with this. In Ephesians 2 verse 4. But because of his great love for us, his agape love, his unconditional love. Do you know what? You cannot sin that much that God won't love you. He loves you unconditionally, but first you have to conditionally come to him. So I want to just give you a short gospel message. If you want to receive this love that we've been talking about, this agape love, if you want to ask God for gifts to minister to his people, then first of all you need to know him. And if you do know him, just agree with me that those that don't can say amen to this. That we ask for repentance, that we acknowledge that we are sinners, but we can be saved by grace. Because in that portion of scripture I read out, it says, did I not prophesy in your name? And he says, depart from me, for I do not know you. I haven't got that intimate relationship with you. So let's make sure we do have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you forgive me of living my life my way, and I want to live it your way. That, Father God, I know that all the things that are contrary to your word are sin. So, Father God, wash me of my sin. Clothe me afresh, that I may be born of your Spirit. That, Father God, that you would help me, you would reside in me, and that I would accept that unconditional love, that you would enable me to love others unconditionally. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. Remember, agape love is a gift from God. Also, there are many other gifts that God wants to give us. So let's pray for those gifts. Father God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, and Lord, we pray one for another that you would give us gifts that would edify the church. Give us gifts that will bring people to your glory. Give us gifts, Lord, that will enable the church to grow. Give us gifts, Lord, that will enable us to persevere. Give us gifts, Lord, that we may be all that you've called us to be, that we may eagerly desire the gifts that you want us to have. And Father, we accept those gifts that you give us. Lord, remind us afresh of what you've called us to do. We are to be co-workers in your vineyard. We're ambassadors for you. So bless us, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.